Hello, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. Hello, this is Dr. Steve Nurse, and I'm here in the studio with Rick Ames, who is my engineer, and Maya, who is my service dog, and she's wagging her tail. And this is our series on learning disabilities. We really feel this is an important issue to cover because as we talked about before, persons with learning disabilities, if you look at kids that are in special ed programs, persons with learning disabilities are above 50% of that population. And those are the ones that I've done. Those are the students that I've done the most research on. And also with me is Dr. Linda Price, who is an expatriate of Temple University and a professor there, and we've worked together on projects. And so Linda has done just a tremendous amount of work in the area of learning disabilities. And I would really describe her as a true expert. I think sometimes, though, when we describe people as experts, you know, if I describe myself as an expert, I'm probably telling people more what I don't know about a subject than what I do. But Linda is a true expert. And today we're going to, we want to talk a little bit about, well, we want to talk a lot about soft skills as it relate to learning disabilities. But as you remember, from if you've listened to any previous episodes, that we in any job we have hard skills, and what we would call the hard skills are those skills that are the actual work that you do on the job. If you're a carpenter, you build buildings, you pound nails, you cut boards in two. If you're an IT person, you code things, you know how computers work. If you are a waitress, you know how to take an order, you know how to, and those are the kinds of things that are hard skills.
Other examples of hard skills, if you're a computer programmer, you know how to code, you work with code. If you are a bus driver, you understand the difference between the accelerator and the brake, and you know what it means to use a turn signal. If you, one of the groups of people right now that are essential workers for all of us are truck drivers, and you need to be able to understand, you know, the weight of what you're carrying and safety factors of what you're carrying and, you know, how to drive on the road, how to read a map, all those kinds of things. So the hard skills tend to be the actual physical skills that you use every day in your job, which is in contrast to soft skills. Right, Steve?
Right. And if you're a dishwasher, though, you bust dishes. So there's also, yes. So let's talk about some of those soft skills, because the statement that you made that we've talked about that I really like is the one that where you say hard skills get a person employed, the ability to complete a task, and soft skills are the skills that many people don't know, and those skills that get a person fired or get a person to lose a job. I think especially these things are important right now as we're getting, we hope we're getting to a point with COVID now where we can, we're definitely starting to open up business. We certainly know that there are a ton of jobs out there for people. I was just down in Bend, Oregon, and literally every sign from every business that I saw down there said, you know, a bonus for hiring. I just read where even some of the local places that are like fast food restaurants are now paying $20, $21 an hour to get people into work. So learning the soft skills is really important. So Linda, why don't you explain to me what the soft skills are that adolescents and adults need to learn if they're going to be successful in a job environment?
Well, soft skills tend to be individual personal characteristics or employee characteristics. And the examples of soft skills, I'm going to give you eight of them. And by the way, we're going to have some of this information listed on the radio website, right, Steve?
Yes, yes.
So if people want more information about that. So I'd like to talk just for one second about soft skills in general, not soft skills about people with disabilities or learning disabilities. The eight typical soft skills that you see are teamwork, problem solving, communication, ethics, flexibility, optimism, empathy, and listening. And different authors will have different soft skills, but that kind of is the list. And what it boils down to is, how do people get along with other people? How do people relate to other people? And those, as you were saying before, hard skills will get you hired, but soft skills will get you fired. For example, two of the top reasons across all professions why people get fired from their jobs are, number one, because they are not ethical. They're found in some kind of a situation, or maybe they're stealing from the company, or they're making too many personal phone calls, or they're taking supplies that they shouldn't take. So one of the top reasons is because they have a lack of ethics. And another reason is because they are poor communicators. And communication is a key soft skill. I mean, how many of us have worked with people that just upset us? They just pissed us off. We didn't know why. I mean, we all have people that we just have trouble working with. And those are people that maybe we have trouble communicating with. Now, granted, we all have that, whether we have a disability or not. But if you are one of those people that cannot communicate well with other people, let's say because you have a learning disability and you have nonverbal learning disabilities where you misunderstand social cues, maybe you are someone that has auditory discrimination or auditory memory problems, and, you know, you don't always understand what people are saying to you, you don't remember what people are saying to you, maybe you're one of those people with learning disabilities that has major organizational problems, and you're constantly turning things in late. You can't meet deadlines. You can't organize your time. These are the people you walk into their office and it looks like a tornado hit because you can't find anything. They can't find anything. Those characteristics, those soft skills, tend to get people either put on probation or demoted, or in some cases fired. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And talk a little bit about the cues that a person without a disability or without a learning disability might pick up. And what are some of those cues that a person with a learning disability might not react to appropriately or pick up appropriately?
Well, you know, you and I have talked a lot about this before, that in the 21st century workplace, people work as teams. Okay, everybody's part of a team. Rarely now do you have the luxury of being by yourself, you know, being in your own private cubicle, maybe never seeing people, never talking to people. The majority of us go to meetings all day. We get emails all day. We're on the phone all day. In some workplaces, they don't have walls. I mean, basically, you are out in a big common area with the desk. And so consequently, teamwork is extremely important. And if you are someone with a learning disability, maybe that has, maybe you have attention deficit disorder and you're constantly interrupting people. Maybe you have auditory memory problems and you're the person on the team that they always have to repeat things two or three times because you're not going to remember it. Maybe you're the person on the team that can't stop talking.
Let me jump in because I think that one of the things you said was really important is that you may have a learning disability and you may have trouble organizing things and remembering things. But to a person that doesn't know about a learning disability, would say, well, here's a person who's not paying attention. And again, you get into that issue of ethics and do they really care about the job or are they just blowing it off? I think that I'm trying to relate this to where we are right now. And I think, again, in this time of COVID, when many, many people are working at home and are doing things like Zoom, it's requiring them to work and to do teamwork. Right. Is that fair to say?
I think that's exactly right. And the other thing that I think is really hard about this is that learning disabilities are invisible disabilities. And so people are not going to cut you any slack. I mean, let's say, for example, that I have a dear friend in Philadelphia right now, and I said, I want to show you something. Let's do a Zoom meeting. And she said, please, no more Zoom meetings. She said, I've been in 4 Zoom meetings today. I can't do any more Zoom meetings. And so we were able then to talk by phone instead of, talking online. But that was not because she had a disability. It was just because she was really burned out with that kind of communication. Let's say somebody, for example, that has a learning disability that they may have, let's say that they have ADHD or they have executive functioning problems. They can't sit in a Zoom meeting legitimately because of their processing. They can't focus for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. They're the people that, you're having a Zoom meeting and they're getting up and they're going in to have a cup of coffee or they have to run outside and smoke or they have to check on their dog. And so everybody else in the Zoom meeting is still there and that person has left the screen. Well, it's not because they're not paying attention or they're not interested. It's because they can't focus on that screen for 20 or 35 minutes at a time.
Yeah, that's a long time. I think that... I think I even read a report that said that the average administrator has a attention span of about 15 minutes. So, it gets to be,
exactly.
And that's for an average person. So if you have a learning disability, then where does that put you put you on the scale? So teamwork is key. And then if we really move down the line there just a bit, the whole issue of problem solving. Problem solving involves collaboration. Problem solving, and when you really break it down, problem solving requires that you listen to another person.
Yeah.
My wife tells me this all the time when I'm problem solving at home. It requires me to listen, and then it requires me to keep my mouth shut while I listen and process what is being said, and then to come up with something that's logical as a result of it, or to participate. And I think that many of these things that you get into, and when you're trying to problem solve, you generally have one person that talks all the time and one person that doesn't talk any time at all. So talk a little bit about problem solving.
Well, and I have said this before and I will say it again. Some of the brightest, most innovative problem solvers that I have ever had a privilege to be around are people with learning disabilities. And these are folks that, remember, if you have a learning disability, you tend to be very, very bright. And people that I've worked with and that I know that have LD are some of the most innovative people you will ever know. It's like somehow or another, the way they take information in, they almost see it in a different way, on a different level. I think I told you about the graduate student that I worked with from Oxford that was flunking out of an honors physics program because he couldn't take standardized tests. Because when he was in England, he did 3D models. That's how he answered his tests, is he did everything in the third dimension. And that's what's amazing to me, is you would think that people would be lining up to hire folks with LD because they are such good problem solvers. They have to be, because they have to work so much harder than everybody else. But the thing is that's interesting is many of them have trouble communicating. They have, for whatever reason, they may have trouble getting along with other people. And, you know, that's the second reason. One of the top three reasons why people are fired on jobs is because they can't get along with other people. I mean, they could be brilliant at what they do, but if they can't get along with other people, they're not going to stay with that company. In the 21st century world of employment, in my experience, what employers are looking at are for people that could be flexible and be problem solvers and turn on a dime. They have to be able to do quick deadlines. They have to be able to make changes. They have to be innovative. They have to change as the market changes. They have to be the kind of person that's a problem solver. And that can be a real asset for people with LD, but if they don't have the other soft skills, that can be, nobody would ever know it.
And I think that the whole issue of flexibility is really critical, because I'm not trying to put people in little pigeonholes, but mm-hmm. I think sometimes persons that have a learning disability learn to do things in a very regimented kind of way. Mm-hmm. In other words, to compensate for a learning disability, you may say, okay, I'm going to get up the first thing in the morning, I'm going to brush my teeth, then I'm going to wash my face, then I'm going to shave, then I'm, you know, so we do things in a different manner. I don't know if I had a learning disability or not, but my father, you know, he grew up in Iowa. When you had a plate of food in front of you, you kind of mixed everything together. I ate my peas first, and then I ate my potato, and then I ate my, you know. So we have different regimented ways that we do that. And sometimes that is almost the way a person who might be on the autism spectrum would do things. And so I think that it's important to be flexible, but we have to be aware that not all people are that flexible. I wanted to bring Rick in here one time right now, because he had, Rick, tell us what you were thinking that we should also discuss here with on this.
Well, yeah, I've been listening to this and I'm a little at a loss how you teach some of these soft skills. I know the school my daughter went to, they did a lot of teamwork stuff. So that would teach them to work in teams. But some of the other soft skills, how would you teach some of those?
Well, what's interesting to me is that if you're looking to prepare adolescents and adults for adult life, you really need not only to teach the hard skills, but you need to teach the soft skills. So now we're not only talking about job seeking, but job keeping. How do you keep that job? And one of the ways that you do that, Rick, which is old, 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 simple, still works, is you model. You talk with, you know, children or adolescents. You give them examples. You model for them. For example, one of the top three reasons why people get fired is because of ethics. And it's very hard to open somebody up and give them, you know, and shoot in a vaccination of ethical behavior. Ethics are behaviors that you learn from people around you. So not only modeling ethical behavior, but talking about ethical behavior. I mean, God knows with all of the kinds of crazy stuff we've gone through politically and socially over the last 5 years, we can get into those discussions with our children and adolescents about, do you think this person acted ethically? If they didn't act ethically, why? If you were in that situation, what would you do? Now, there are actual ethical curriculums that are out there. I'm not sure that I think any of them are very good. But if you even want to infuse that into, like a public school setting, some people do teach ethics. We're going to do an episode on optimism.
Yes, we are.
Optimism, to me, is probably one of the easiest things to teach, and it's one of the soft skills that's probably the least known. We're going to talk about in that episode actual activities that you can do. I have activities on my website to teach optimism, but the point is that you don't just suddenly wake up in the morning and go, gee, I'm going to be an optimistic person. Or, you know, that person that I work with that I really can't stand that's so pessimistic, he needs to turn around and become optimistic. It doesn't work that way. Basically, what you're doing is you're helping people to look at new beliefs, new ideas, and to see why that's important.
And you know, I was going to say, I think that, you know, the more I think about that, that whole issue of modeling is so important. I told you earlier, my mother got me a record, an LP record called Manners Can Be Fun. And I still remember the things that it said. You know, it was like a, how do you do? How do you do? I offer my hand to you. And then it had like one whole cut of it was, please, thank you. Please, thank you. You know, it kind of went on forever. But again, we do model. And let me tell you a little story. I was did a lot of work up in Alaska. And one of the things we were talking I was getting some information up there. And this was one of the towns that was way, way, way out in the bush. And they got everything, TV and stuff, off a satellite. And so one of the programs that they were, I can't remember the name of the program. What was the name of the program that had Mr. T in it? What was that?
Oh, yeah. Something Squad.
Yeah.
The something. Squad.
Yeah, there you go. But what we found out was a lot of these natives that lived in this community were modeling that the voice of Mr. T. And so, wow. You know, you would talk to them and they would have kind of that Mr. T kind of accent. Modeling, that's the one thing that we do, that we do it good and we do it negatively.
Absolutely. And if, Rick, if I could give you two other quick suggestions, because a lot of the ways that I think of teaching soft skills are fun. You have to make them fun for people. So, for example, one of the soft skills is empathy. And it's very hard sometimes to teach people how to empathize or sympathize with other people. So go on YouTube, find a YouTube video, and turn the sound off. And watch the video without the sound. And then sit with a partner and ask that person to tell you what they think the people are feeling in the YouTube video. So basically, you watch the YouTube video without sound, and you kind of try to put yourself in their position and ask yourself, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? Then go back, watch the video again, turn the sound back on, and check to see if you were correct. That's a simple thing that's a lot of fun.
You know, my daughter and I used, this is interesting. My daughter and I used to kind of, I would take her down and she would be waiting for the ferry. we'd be waiting for the ferry down there, and I'd be in one of the slots. And a lot of these people walk up to the ferry. So what we would do is we would see, we would try to play as they were walking down there, whichever cadence we would try to play music to it. And then if they looked down, if the cue was they were looking down, you know, we would make these stories up about, you know, how their life was going. And, you know, they just had a relationship broke up, and they're going to go into work today. They found out they lost their job. But I mean, I think that that is interesting. And it is that issue of empathy. And from that standpoint, I think I know how you feel about that. Empathy is really important. Listening is very, very important.
Exactly.
And my wife emphasizes that almost daily, that listening is important. And in fact, what she says is, I don't want a solution to the problem. I just want someone to listen. So that happens a lot. But again, these are, like you say, these are all learnable situations. We assume so much is just kind of natural, just, you know, almost like osmosis. It comes into our bodies, and it's not. These are not. These are all learned behaviors. So, with that, I think we're going to kind of wrap this one up, and we still have just 2 minutes. But what would you say a little bit of time that we have left in this session, Linda, what would you want the listeners to get? And we'll talk more about soft skills in the next session. But what do you want them to get out of this session?
I think one of the best, most positive things to think about today is that everybody can improve their soft skills. And everybody can be successful using appropriate soft skills.
I think that's a good way to end. And so with that, we will close up this session, and we will be with you again next week.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.